Well, let me go ahead and address some of the questions that were asked from the previous session last week before we start our regular class. Some of them were questions, and others were basically comments. And based on time, we may just address the question. So this is the office hour for speech answering questions from session one. Selah Burnett asked this couple of questions, I think one question, and she also made one comment that I think I might read here. Her question is, I'm curious to learn more about how a speaker transitions from a formal outline to a keyword outline. What are some tips about the best way to do that? This is a good question, Sela. Obviously, let me just establish the distinction between a formal outline and a keyword outline. We also talked last week about working outline. So the formal outline is the full sentence complete form, which pretty much everything from your presentation or your speech is included on that outline. On the other hand, a keyword outline is basically, as it says, it's a keyword. It's basically you prepare your speech with having all the information on your formal outline, and you practice and you feel comfortable knowing what your points are, what supporting information you are going to use to support those points, and so forth. And all that is included, all supporting material is included on the formal outline, your sources and everything. Now, once you practice your speech and you feel comfortable with how things flow, it looks like you have a prepared, a final outline that includes all the information, and you practice, you feel comfortable with it. Now, when you're ready to kind of detach yourself a little bit from the word forward outline so that you can be more fluent and flexible and be able to talk basically in an extemporaneous manner. If you use your formal outline to present, most likely you will end up reading it because everything is in there. It's similar to a manuscript, basically. And if you read, we will be talking later on about the different methods for delivery, but reading is one method, but this is not the method we're emphasizing in this class. So one of the idea for using a keyword outline is you know the order in which you will be presenting things, and you could have phrases that represent your points and your supporting material. So basically, as it says, keywords without complete sentences and paragraphs that you'll be reading word forward. You could have keywords to remind you of what you want to say in the introduction. Introduction, sometimes you can even memorize it, by the way. Depending on how long the speech is going to be, your introduction may be fairly short, your introduction and your conclusion. Often you can memorize those if needed. Then once you have the words to remind you, to trigger your memory in terms of what you're going to be talking and what order that you're going to be presenting them, then you put those words on paper to remind you. And sometimes you can use your an index card to put those words on because it's something that really not obvious to everybody that you're reading it. It's really inconspicuous when you look at the note. Just very quick glimpse at the note card and see what the next idea is that you're going to be talking about, which emphasizes a lot of eye contact because you don't have to read for a long time, having your head down, looking only at the paper or the script that you need to read. So that's basically the purpose for the keyword outline. But to transition from the formal outline is basically you have to be familiar with the information enough so that you can put those words on the separately pulling out from the from the formal outline to help you remember the key ideas that you want to develop and in what order. So once you're familiar with the formal outline, you can transition, but if not, then it's going to be hard for you to transition from the formal outline to the keyword outline. So I hope that helps. If not, just let me know if you have other specific questions about this. Okay, so another comment, I think, from Scylla said, I thought it was interesting to discover that there is not a cure for communication anxiety. I had kind of assumed that that was the case, but it was a sad reality to embrace. I guess you will not be instructing us to imagine an audience in their underpants. No, not necessarily. I guess you already know about that trick that some people think is effective. I don't think it is necessarily. If it works for some for whoever for someone, you may use it, but I necessarily don't think it is you have to do that. So as we talked about, anxiety is something to be expected. Every time you face a new audience or in a new situation, you most likely will have some anxiety. The key is to know how to control it so that it doesn't handicap you from relaying the message that you intend to relay. We have once you prepare enough and understand the principles of giving a presentation, and you've done your research, you've rehearsed, then part of the anxiety will subside a little bit, and maybe when you start, you may feel more anxious than as the speech goes on, then you probably will start to feel comfortable, especially depending on the response from the audience. The audience plays a major role in alleviating your anxiety when it comes to public speaking. Okay. All right. Let's see. Phillips. Looking for some other questions. Rachel Rawlings, I think she made a comment that kind of summarizes a bit the three types of outlines that we talked about. I'll just read her comment so that if that's helpful for some of you, you may benefit from that. So she said, when preparing to present a speech, it is beneficial to develop the body of the speech before creating the introduction and the conclusion. This also makes it easier to create a thesis statement. There are also multiple outlines that can help to develop a better speech. A speaker should begin with a working outline, then a formal outline, and finally a keyword outline to help them best organize the thoughts needed for an adequate speech. I was unaware that it is suggested to create all three outlines. If all three outlines are created, it will be easier on the speaker because the information will be well studied and organized. Thanks, Rachel, for the summary, the summation of that part of the study that we had last week. There are a couple of questions that I think from some other people that may connect directly to this comment that I'm trying to look for here. There you go. From Carice, said, should we always write outlines before speeches? Well, it all depends on whether you want your information to be organized or not organized, because that's what the outline does for you, Carice. It helps you to put things on paper and really see how ideas flow, what goes where, what information you need to support specific points that you're making, and it also helps you to see what you need, what points you need to address first, and so forth. So having an outline is helpful in really helping you see things on paper. Okay. We have things, you can have an outline in your head, depending on how short your presentation is. But if you're preparing a long presentation, a presentation that calls for research, then you most likely would benefit from having an outline so that it helps you with your research and plug things in as you go along, as you find more information, and help you organize your ideas a little bit more effectively. So that's for the most part what the outline does. And if you you also ask, is it okay to give a speech from a working outline? Talking about Carice, she asked another question. And I would say a working outline is a work in progress. So if your outline is still in a working format, then that means it's not finished. And if it's not finished and you give your speech from that outline, unfinished outline, then most likely you may miss things. You may not have things in the way that you really wanted it because you did not finalize that outline. So starting from a working outline is really having a skeleton, just a temporary place to start. And then as you move, as you get more information, as you organize and finalize that outline, most likely it will transition or transform into a formal outline where everything you need is on there the way you want it. So I would not suggest that you give a speech from a working outline, because that means the outline is not done, it's not finished, and you have not had all the things that you need from there. Questions from Jacqueline. She said, what can I do better to not be so scared to give speeches? Well, as we talked about communication apprehension last week, and we mentioned that this is not something that we can give you a magic bullet for and just said, okay, just do this and it will all go away. And I wish I had that, that I could, you know, just do that for all of you. The problem is, anxiety or being having some having some apprehension when it comes to speaking in public is to be expected, especially when you do it a lot and you are used to the audience that you're speaking with, then you become more familiar with the people than an anxiety. It's just like when you're with your friends. When you're with your friends, probably are not scared to talk to them. But when you meet someone for the first time, then you may have some hesitation to speak or to address that person. It's because of the lack of familiarity. So every time you're going to be addressing a new audience, there will be some level of apprehension, some level of anxiety, because you really are and are out of your comfort zone, and you're not sure what this audience necessarily is expecting, and so forth. So we will be talking later on about audience analysis, so you know how to prepare for a specific audience, because that's important. So the idea of what can you do better? Well, we have identified a few things. Make sure when you prepare to speak to on the topic that you prepare your research, you are familiar enough with the information you are presenting, and you know a little bit about the audience so that you can integrate them within your presentation as well, so that you feel connected. We'll be talking a little bit today about speakers' ethos in terms of how you make you portray ethos as a speaker so that the audience sees you and connect with you. And so those are some of the things that you want to do. Prepare, practice, make sure you're familiar with your topic, and those could help. They may not necessarily take away your hesitation, but they will help you feel more comfortable in front of the audience if you feel well prepared. Okay, so next question. Cassie Valle asked the question, what do you mean by quoting out of context when we use communication techniques properly? Well, as you do research, you will be using sources and information from other people and other authors, and so when you find information to support positions that you're holding and to make your point, often people may take a piece of information from a source and use it not in the context it was intended. And when that happens, it's because we just this information sounds good and it seems to support my point, but if you go back to the original source and look at that piece of information that you use, was it used originally in the context you pull it out to you using it? Because you can transplant anything from any place and make it sound good with your information. But when somebody else goes back and look at it, and they could probably see you are not being, ethical in using that information because it was misused. It's almost like if I have something, we see that a lot in politics. You could listen to a whole message. Such a whole speech, and someone just pull out a sentence out of that speech, to make a point in terms of why they disagree with that person and so forth. But when you if you just listen to that small piece, then you won't know whether this was used appropriately or not. But if you go back to the complete speech and take that sentence back and place it in the context of the paragraph that it was used, the context of the idea that was being developed in that speech, you may find out that, oh, no, that's not what that person was saying. But the person who is quoting out of context, that's what it does. It says, so-and-so says this. Yes, the person did say that, but in what context was it said? And people can make things walk on all fours if you're familiar with that expression, is really take things and really make it say whatever they want it to say, as long as it supports their position. That one of the ideas of being unethical about when using, when quoting out of context. So this is what I meant by quoting out of context, is taking information from the original source and use it inappropriately just to make your case, whether it was within the context of what the, where the information was used or not. You don't care, you just want to take it and make your point. That's all what you're concerned about. And I think this comment from Cassie may be beneficial to you as well. It says, I found that not only practicing in front of the mirror, but doing so in front of family members is a great review. And I get critiqued on the spot and not just my own opinion. So I do agree with that, Cassie. If you have family members or friends who are willing to listen to your rehearsed presentation before you actually, while you will prepare and rehearse your presentation, if someone can listen to you and give you some feedback before the live show, that would definitely be helpful to you, because those are people you often trust, and they probably will be very frank with you in terms of things that you may need to do differently. So if you have that available to you, by no means, please take advantage of that as you go through this class as well. And I would encourage anyone to do that as well in preparation for your future presentations, whether it's for this class or for in other contexts, other settings that you may be speaking, using family members or friends as a an audience for practice purposes is a good idea. Right. I think those were the main things that I gathered from the comments and questions that were asked. I am going to end the office hour for now, and then we will be back in a few minutes to start our regular class.